You're listening to a presentation brought to you by Mystery Play Internet Radio. This is Clyde J. Gale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and thank you for listening to this podcast. You're listening to a series that I call Clyde's Weird Stuff.
Now that's weird.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry.com.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and welcome back to another outstanding podcast. I'd like to say that today's podcast is sponsored by GoToMeeting.com.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call, now that's weird.
Just like to say hello to a few people in hour three before we move on. Hello to Mike and Helen up there, our friends in Chepstow. Hello to Kath out in Gettysburg listening to the show. Hello to all my regular listeners over here, including Alan in Spain, Val, Nita, Tracy. My God, who else? I get so many emails coming from these people, and I always miss one really important one. But hello to all of you. It's nice that you're tuning in and taking part in the show, so good for that. Now, a few people have emailed in asking where Elizabeth is again this evening. As you may know, Elizabeth suffers from a problem with thrombosis, where she gets blood clots in the arteries and whatever. And she has to go in every now and again and have them removed. And she was taken in last week to have some removed as they were getting a little bit difficult. And, you know, obviously these things are life-threatening. So we wish her all the best. She has now come out of hospital, I understand, and is recovering. And hopefully will be back on the show with us next week. So we send out all our loving and healing to Elizabeth. And I hope you'll do the same. And thanks to all of you tuning in and listening. And thanks for all of you that have sent emails in to me, reference Aurora, Manta, and the UFO business. It seems most of you are convinced now from the tone of your emails that these things very much exist, and that aliens are very much amongst us. So that seems to be the predominant feeling of the people listening to the show. So thanks for that. It's always good to get your views. Because sitting here in the driving seat of the show, you know, it's a difficult position to be in, because having done this show now for something like 18 months, you sometimes can't be sceptical, because you hear so much evidence and you see so many things put in front of you to look at. People, obviously, before they come on the show, they send me their books, they send me their DVDs. And when I see some of the stuff, some of the real research they've done, it's very, very difficult to remain sceptical about these things. It really is. So there you go. It certainly opened my eyes. Now let me tell you a little about my next guest. She has been on the program before, but for those of you that haven't heard of her, she's in, I believe, Florida, but we'll check that in a moment. It says here, from a young age and with an amazing accuracy, Michelle Whitedove could communicate with the other side. During a fatal car crash, she had a near-death experience and since has devoted her life to helping others. Whitedove actively works as a medical intuitive, angel communicator, spirit medium, psychic investigator, and visionary. Currently, she is teaching spiritual development courses, lecturing nationwide, and conducting readings by telephone. She's with me now. Is it indeed Florida, Michelle?
Yes, sir. It is indeed, at this time, Florida.
What a lovely place it is, too. I've been there many, many times, and it's a lovely, lovely area. What part of Florida are you in?
Like Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, very nice, too. Lovely. Now, we heard, and I want to just start with this before we go into the main stuff here. We hear a lot of stories of that area, especially down on the coast by towards Miami, having a big crime problem. Is that still the case?
Yes, the crime here has increased tremendously, unfortunately.
I don't think it's just there, though. I mean, all around the world now, there seems to be more negativity and more anger growing everywhere.
I agree. agree. It's not, it seems wherever I go, you know, wherever it is, whether it's in the United States or Canada or Europe, it's primarily more so here, I have to tell you, in the United States. It's just crazy. It seems like everyone's, turned upside down and losing their minds.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think something's happening. It's very, very strange. But I've been preaching for some time now on the show that we should all be trying to send out love, send out positivity, even to those attacking us around us. And I try and do that wherever I can. But it is so hard sometimes when people are being complete idiots and really attacking you to be nice to them, isn't it?
It is, but that's the true test, isn't it? You know, is that no matter what's thrown at us, whether it's personally or collectively, that we react, we don't feed that negative energy. You know, as you said, we kill them with kindness, send them love and light. And no, it's, there's times where I have to bite my lip sometimes, you know, because it's just the stupidity or the ignorance. But again, I know that to, engage in that is only going to give them a false sense of power. So, you know, as long as you're in your integrity and coming from a pure place and, fully, you know, authentic and such, I don't think there's a problem. The light always overpowers the darkness.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's what people need to concentrate on, is that light. Now, let's talk a little about your near-death experience. Tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Well, I was warned, since I've been a naturally gifted since childhood, I was warned that day not to get into the car several times. But my cousin that had just come into remission from having two types of leukemia, you could say kind of pack your bags, you're going on a guilt trip, and he got me to get in the car even though I knew it wasn't in my best interest. And I didn't have all the details, but I know I've learned over the years not to question spirit. So I got in the car, and I always ride in the front seat because I get sick in the back. And all of a sudden, it was as if my guardian angel sat down with me and spoke out of my mouth and said, "Stop the car. Who wants to trade places with me?" And as it was, a little boy, a friend of mine named Stevie, said, "I'll trade places with you." I had no idea at the time that we were trading lives. And so we went a few blocks down the road, and I'm talking about just a few blocks. This was in Daytona on Highway 40. And there is a dog that ran out in front of the road. So my other cousin that was driving tried to swerve, natural instincts. But there was a group of workers in the fields on one side. And then on the other side, there was nowhere to go but, you know, on the oncoming traffic. So she got in that lane, and unfortunately, it was a head-on collision with a van. And she was only going about 45. But Stevie, who took my place, changed places with me, died immediately on impact. And my cousin that just was in remission died also on impact by a blow to the back of the skull. And I had also was clinically pronounced dead on the pavement. And then even when they got me to the hospital and ICU for weeks, they told my family, you know, she's not going to make it. My lungs were crushed, my heart, internal bleeding, broken back, shattered right arm, left ankle. I mean, it was just a bloody mess. So it was when I crossed over, I found myself outside of my body floating, and kind of, I found it interesting that I was detached from that body and detached from the accident itself, knowing that, you know, life is much more than what we realize in this realm. And I remember being fascinated by looking at my spirit self, which was identical to my body, but a cleaned-up version, you know? And so all of a sudden I felt this pull, and I turned around, and I sort of ascended upward to what I call the light, and I found myself in the presence, a partial presence, we'll say, of God, of the Godhead, with my guardian angel surrounding me and telling me to go back. And I said, "I know the rules, free will, I'm not going back." And so they said, "We know how to deal with you." And so they took me forward into my life from 18 on, you know, to when I would actually officially die. And they showed me all the work and all the lives that I would touch. And they said, "If you don't go back, it is your choice, but you are going to have such a an effect in a negative way when you chose this contract, and now you're trying to pull out of it." And so after God showed me my future, and it's very interesting because everything I was shown is what I do today and then some, and I know, you know, my work is still not finished here. And so I made an oath, a promise to God, if God promised me that I wouldn't have to, how was I going to go back to that wrecked up body, is what I said, because I thought I was paralyzed. God said, let me worry about the miracle. You know, they don't speak with a set of vocal cords. And, you know, you just be willing to go back and do, fulfill your mission. I said, okay, a deal, as long as I don't have to suffer and be in all this pain. And it was a miraculous miracle recovery. You know, I was never bedridden for the time they said. They said my arm would never be straight. It is. I mean, you know, on and on. I could never have children. I did. So everything that they were telling me, I actually laughed at. And they said from the time I came conscious and I would go, you know, back into an unconscious state, that I would talk about my experience seeing heaven and the angels and God and, you know, my life, and they couldn't get me to shut up. They thought it was the drugs.
Well, we've got to get you to do exactly that now, because we need to go into an ad break, but I'm sure you won't be offended by that one. Michelle, it's always a joy talking to you. Stay with us. We're going to be about 3 minutes on the ad break. We'll be right back with you. Any questions for Michelle, get them into me now. It's studio@glastonburyradio.net. That's studio@glastonburyradio.net. Get those in now, and we'll get your questions across to Michelle throughout the program. She's here with us for the final hour, and we'll be back right after this.
Now that's weird.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and let's take a break from today's show. I've got a very important message for you. You know, these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something on a computer with your friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. You know, I've tried this thing, folks, and it's just like you're in the same room. You can share your computer screen. You can pass keyboard and mouse control over to another member. You can even draw and highlight on the screen. And here's the wonderful thing, low flat fee pricing. It lets you meet as often as you want for as long as you need, instead of worrying about those minute-to-minute costs. Try it yourself free for 45 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Again, that's gotomeeting.com/podcast. You really got to give it a try today, all right?
Glastonbury Fairs presents the Mystic and Earth Spirit Fair at Glastonbury Town Hall on Saturday 26th and Sunday 27th of May from 10 till 6 p.m. There are free talks, lectures and demonstrations featuring Jeff Ward, Malcolm Robinson, Peter Knight, Celia Gunn, Issa Treya, Free Rob Cannabis, Ishaya Monks and special guest Ralph Ellis, who will be speaking on the tombs of King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, as well as Skota, the Egyptian Queen of the Scots. GlastonburyRadio.net will be broadcasting live from this two-day event. Come down and meet some of the personalities behind the voices. Admission is just £3 and all accompanied children are free. In the evening, there's a magical Avalonian May Ball in Celtic Cayley on Sunday 27th of May from 7:30 p.m. with the Kangaroo Kylie Band. Tickets are available from Changing World Music inside Gothic Image in Glastonbury for just £7, £9 on the door. The Crystal Sound Academy presents the International Crystal Sound Conference 2007 on the 17th, 18th and 19th of August at the Town Hall in Glastonbury in England. Experience the sacred union of crystals and sound in an exciting and unique event. Some of the guest speakers include Melody, Queen of the Crystals, Robert Simmons, founder of Heaven and Earth and author of Book of Stones, Hazel Raven, Sheila Chandra and Don Campbell. Conference tickets are available now, and an early bird offer of just £240 per person is available if booked before the 30th of April 2007. Find out more at the website crystalsoundacademy.com. Brought to you in conjunction with Tim Wheater and Stone Age in Glastonbury.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back to the show. It's me, Ross Hemsworth. We're in the third hour of the programme. Now That's Weird. Hope you're enjoying it, and stick with it. There's a lot more yet to come. We've got on the show in the third hour Michelle Whitedove, who's a medical intuitive, and we were talking about her near-death experience. Now, let's just come back to that, Michelle, if we may. I mean, how did that affect your life afterwards, not only having that near-death experience and being, as you say, directly head-to-head with God or the Godhead, but also about the fact that you changed seats with somebody that died?
Yes, you know, at first I felt guilty, you know, until it was explained to me that God, this young man rather, knew my destiny in a sense and decided to give up his life to save my own. And so that's basically what it comes to. And then I didn't have any guilt about it because I knew he could finish up what he needed for his soul's growth in the heavens or chose to come back again. And so it was an exchange. But as far as what happened to me afterward, I was in a very big hurry to get well and then get right on with it and help as many people as I could and write a book and write another book on my eighth one and, you know, do all the work. I was like, well, let me hurry up and help all these people and do this so I can go back home quicker.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you've got to take these things the right way, haven't you? Because if something like that happens, you could actually spend the rest of your life regretting the decision and almost going into a negative hole, if you like.
That's true, but I chose not to take that route because God made it so clear to me the importance of me being here on Earth, and I did not want to disappoint God or myself, being that I chose that contract. I had simply forgotten, as so many people do. So I think that it was a great gift to come back with clearly understanding what my contract or purpose here on Earth was to do. How many people can honestly say that they have that type of clarity, you know, in that way? So for me, it was a great gift.
Mm. Well, I think all of these things, you know, when you go through them, they're all meant to be there for a reason. I remember a clairvoyant telling me some time ago that I would, before I died, experience a near-death experience. I'd go through the whole thing. That's something I didn't look forward to, and touch wood, so far hasn't happened. So let's hope they got that one wrong. But let's just move on from that for a second, because I'm aware that we've only got an hour and we've got a lot of things to try and fit in. So just describe to me exactly what is a medical intuitive.
A medical intuitive is someone that sort of has, well, in my case, I work with all my senses, seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting, and knowing, but not on the human level of the five senses. It's sort of like x-ray vision where I'm able to look at the body, like through the body, and to any area that's diseased or there's a blockage with that energy, that chakra there, the meridians. And then, you know, it's something that I get a lot of satisfaction out of because when you can save a person's life or save them from suffering and they have a choice in the matter and I get to give them the information as well as not only hitting them over the head with the medical diagnosis, but then giving them the solution and saying, this is what you need to do to fix it. And I just had, for example, a lady where I told her straight out, you know, I'm one not to edit the information. I said, listen, you need to see a doctor right away because you have a very large tumor in the abdominal area that's cancerous. And she blew me off, and then I saw her again, and I stuck to my guns, you know. And she went in and got a checkup, and sure enough, I don't know how she couldn't know it was there. It was the size of a baby. But I told her, I said, don't worry. It'll be cancerous, but they'll cut it out, and you'll be completely clean, and you will not have to go out this way. And so, long story short, that's exactly what it was. I said, give me that in writing, because I like the testimonials to add to my books, you know, so people realize this isn't just, you know, somebody making things up.
Now, how do you see these medical problems from someone that you've never even met, like if you're doing something over the phone, for instance?
Gosh, I mean, like you said, you know, all of my readings, basically, are over the telephone unless I'm in a certain city where I set a day aside. But just hearing their voice, I make the connection to that soul. And also, you know, I only work with prayer and meditation. And when I'm doing private readings, an hour session or so, I work with photos, not to see what they look like on the outside, but to see their aura, their electric magnetic field that tells their whole story. So I can immediately, that's the first thing I look at, is, okay, is this person healthy? And if not, then let's address it so they have a choice in the matter. I'm very big on that and working murder cases with children.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of these things, you know, a true intuitive will pick up like that. And I think children possibly, because there's an even greater sense there, you can tune into them. But why do you think doctors are unable to accurately diagnose so many people?
Oh, God, that's so true, especially here in the States.
Well, I've got to just tell you, and I'm not going to give details of this because she wouldn't want me to, but my partner had seen 6 different doctors about a problem she had, none of whom got it right, and only recently a new doctor that we've just signed up with got it right first time, and I have very little faith in GPs generally.
I have to agree with you, my dear. I had the same problem myself. I find that they don't listen to people. They don't use their intuitive side. You know, they come straight from the book or what they have seen or experienced only based on their short experiences. And they really just seem to have tunnel vision. And the technology that we have today, you would think it would be so much more superior, where they could basically x-ray a body and see whatever is wrong, and they don't. You know how many women get mammograms, and the doctors say they're completely fine, to find out 3 months later that they have cancer, you know, and it's not detected. And so I really think that it's just based on them limiting themselves by simply going by the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, Western medicine is very much about that. Well, here's a pill. This will fix that. And this is a very big problem here because everybody's basically medicated up, you know, on antidepressants and things that really just kind of suppress their own intuition and put them in a fog, and it's not healing anything. It's simply just putting a Band-Aid over an open wound, you know?
I've got an email in here. I'll just read this out to you. It's always nice to get nice emails with people patting you on the back. I think we all need an ego rub from time to time. This one's from Michael. It says, well, Ross, I've got to go to bed. I can't listen to any more. But Michelle is another beautiful and interesting guest. You're something else. You get some great guests on your program. If I was on broadband, I wouldn't mind, but I've been on dial-up now for over 4 hours, and I really must retire. Glastonbury Radio is very special. So many different interesting programs. Thank you. Thank your presenters and your guests. Now, that's what I call good radio.
That's lovely. Thank you so much.
Isn't that nice? So, thank you, Michael. You get off to bed, mate. Have some sleep.
Absolutely.
We'll move on. Now, Alzheimer's is a common problem. Sorry, Misha. It's just my bad sense of humour. Have you been told what the causes of this disease?
Yes, spiritually speaking, absolutely. And that's a great question, by the way, Ross.
Thank you.
You know, what it is, and I have so many clients that say to me, oh, my mother or father, you know, has this, and a lot of times it's misdiagnosed as well. It could be dementia or Alzheimer's. And the thing with that is that basically what happens is the soul has gotten homesick, they want to go, but they want to go prematurely, meaning before their actual exit date, their death date.
Hmm.
So what happens is they're like half in, half out, meaning the soul. Sometimes if you speak to them, they remember you, and they're there, and then other times it's like no one's home. You can see it in the eyes, you know, and they're like lost. It's like they're someplace else because they're actually half out, meaning their energy, their spirit's half out, half in, and they're literally waiting for their exit date so the body can just shut down and they can go home. So it's a bit premature, but that is the actual answer to that, of why a person gets that.
Now, Alzheimer's, of course, is something that is spreading, and more people are being diagnosed with it, but not always, as you rightly said, diagnosed straight away, which is a shame. But it's one of these things, it's a bit like cancer and heart disease. More and more people seem to be getting it. Do you think a lot of these things are stress-related?
I think many of them are stress-related because, remember, what we think is what we become. What we fear if we don't conquer it is what we will live, and vice versa. And I think also that many people don't know how to cope with not only their personal life, but more so what's going on a global scale with all this chaos. And you know we're in the process of ascending, the ascension, which is going to a higher consciousness and coming away from these old man-made programs that no longer work for us, which is quite obvious. So many people are just really, I have never seen such an increased amount of suicide watch, is what I call them, where they're literally on a suicide watch, where my guardian angels will say, this person, if you don't get to them in the right time and say the right, you know, what they need to hear to give them hope, they're going to take themselves out prematurely. And there's a big penalty for that. Again, it's not about judgment. It's about for every choice is a consequence. So I'm seeing an increase of everything, from people losing their mind to suicide to illnesses. People, and I mean very young, look at the rate of infertility that's going on right now. And women at a young age, from teens to 20s, with endometriosis and with cancer. And I think a lot of that also has to do with our environment and the foods that we consume. And that's not very healthy for the most part. So, you know, it's a combination of all those things.
I agree. Now, what's your personal belief on euthanasia for the critically ill? Because in some countries it's still viewed as a suicide. In other countries now they're relaxing the laws. I think in Holland now it's legal. What's the state of play in Florida?
It has to be the right set of circumstances for it to be okay, and that's why here in the state of Florida or just the United States, it's very important to have a living will as well as your will. And I'll be honest with you, I'm one that if I know I'm going to die in a matter of weeks, you know, and there's no hope for me, I'm a vegetable, for God's sake, somebody pull the plug. And you're not really killing that person, you're just shortening the time of their suffering and letting them go, let's say a week, 2 weeks earlier versus, 6 weeks of hanging on for what?
Exactly.
When there's no quality of life. So every set of circumstances, around that is different. It varies from one person to another. I mean, I don't think we have no right to take a life before it's their time to go. But this is almost like really just setting a soul free that is suffering and is going to pass anyways. So, I think in the right set of circumstances, as much as this is controversial, I would say that I am pro-choice on that.
Now, if someone's dying of an illness, something serious, and we're going to need to be fairly quick with this one, we've got about a minute to the break, is death something that we should fear?
No, not at all, and that's what I always try to tell people. There is nothing to fear. You're simply crossing over to the higher realms if you choose to go to the light, and it's quite peaceful and tranquil and loving, and you feel better than you've ever felt on Earth.
And I think, certainly from my own experiences, I tend to echo that. And if you go to a website, it's near-death.org, there's some wonderful stories on there of people who have gone over that line and come back to tell the story. We'll be back with Michelle in just a moment. We need to take another break and check out her website, which is... Michelle, quickly, I haven't got it in front of me. What's your website address?
MichelleWhiteDove.com.
MichelleWhiteDove.com. Check that out. We'll be back with Michelle right after this.
The Forbidden Knowledge Conference comes to Glastonbury on Saturday, July the 14th. Amongst the guests are Nick Pope, the former UK government UFO investigator, known as the UK's own Fox Mulder. Paul Devereaux, TV presenter, author and expert on ley lines and earth energies. Tim Wallace Murphy, the world's leading authority on the Knights Templars. Peter Knight, author of the book 13 Moons and an expert on local ancient sites and mysteries. Anne Andrews, mother of the alien abductee known as the Indigo Child, Jason Andrews. Ralph Harvey, the UK granddaddy of witchcraft and head of the Order of Artemis. And top of the bill, Ray L, leader of the Raelian movement, who hit the headlines recently by claiming they had the world's first human cloned baby. It is extremely rare to see Ray L talking in the UK at this type of event, so this is a must not miss. Book your tickets now on 07990 797 979. That's 07990 797 979, or visit glastonburyfairs.co.uk. That's glastonburyfairs, spelled FAYRES.co.uk. Don't miss out, tickets are selling fast.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Plus, enter promo code BLU38 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Would you like to advertise on one of the fastest growing radio stations in the world? The amazing opportunity comes with GlastonburyRadio.net to advertise from just £50 per month. How cheap is that to get to a world audience and sell your goods online as well as locally in Glastonbury? Just give us a call for more details on 0871 871 3666 or email studio at GlastonburyRadio.net and find out why so many people are choosing to advertise online. Tune in online at www.glastonburyradio.net. Why? Because it's a net thing.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
I've got an interesting email in from one of our listeners on an FM station in Canada, funnily enough, not America. And she says, why is it, Ross, that you sometimes comment about a particular advert and it doesn't seem to match or react to the adverts we have here? Well, the reason for that, my darling, is very simple. We run a 3-minute-10 set ad break. And the syndicate stations that take our ads get the same ads that we put out here, but some stations, especially the FM stations, have their own ads in that 3-minute-10 break, which is why we have to get ad breaks into a particular time on the second, because they program their own ad breaks in. So, yes, you might be hearing different ads. So when you hear me come out of an ad break and talk about an ad and it doesn't make any sense to you, that's the reason. So hopefully that will also answer it for a lot of other listeners around the world. The other thing that I quite often get asked is on the start of each hour, I always talk about the music I've played in or something in the opening section. Well, of course, again, a lot of the FM stations are running their news bulletin in that 6-minute, 10-second break at the beginning of each hour. So because they have news and their own ads, again, you don't always get the same music that we play in with here in the UK. So I hope that answers that for you. Now, my guest in this hour of the show is Michelle Whitedove, and we're talking about all sorts of over the edge type things, death and Alzheimer's and illness. Oh, dearie me. And I think we'll lighten it up a little, shall we now? Let's talk about something less life-threatening, Michelle. One of the things that you put in your notes to me was about attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactive disorder, known over here as ADHD. Now, this is a common diagnosis, but one that I'm very familiar with because my oldest daughter has it, or at least has the diagnosis. Now, what's your views on this?
I did mean to cut you off there, Ross. Can you repeat that question again, dear?
Yeah, sorry. As I say, my oldest daughter has what has been diagnosed as ADHD, but I know you have strong feelings on this, and I'm just wondering what your feelings are with regards to these diagnoses.
I've done my homework on this, and in my second book, Angels Are Talking, Angels Are Talking. My first book, She Talks with Angels. The second one is Angels Are Talking. I really went off on a tangent, I have to say, but to educate the parents, which often take this counsel or advice from the teachers, and, you know, they are not medical doctors or have a degree, and they tried to diagnose my youngest son with the same thing because he's quite hyper, you know, and his attention span is short, but what I'm finding is in the schools, and many people don't know this in the public school systems, and I'm surprised to hear that it's going on in Europe, the UK, because it was only really here in the United States that they started this, and it's a domino effect of, well, the school gets a better curve, meaning the grade overall for the school, more kids that are diagnosed ADD or ADHD. And then also it's like kiddie cocaine, and I'm not exaggerating in any means, and it suppresses these wonderful blue-ray children or indigo children that are extremely intuitive and brilliant, but they just haven't found the right format to work with them. They're trying to stick them in a classroom of 45 children, and they basically want them just to sit there, shut up, and listen to the teacher, and basically, kids have even told me this, it sounds like this to them, wah-wah-wah, like Charlie Brown, you know? And so they really just, also the teachers get, the school gets paid, as well as the learning curve for a better grade overall, and then the shrinks, the doctors, the counselors that milk the parents and have them come in, you know, once a minimum, sometimes twice, three times a week, and then the pharmaceutical companies are getting rich because it first started with Ritalin and variations of that. And I'm finding that I spiritually work with children as far as spiritual counseling, and primarily that's the children that I work with. And to get the feedback from them, you'll be very surprised because they'll say, it makes me sick, I didn't feel like myself, I couldn't think, I was like a walking a zombie or an automatic pilot, and I had many children that their parents would try to make them take the medicine and they would throw it away or act like they took it and then, you know, get dismiss it. So
Well, one of the things, Michelle, that I'm going to bring into this is my own experiences with my oldest daughter, because my ex-wife was looking for a diagnosis. She felt that she cried too much, she was hyperactive, therefore there must be something wrong. And she took her around lots of different hospitals trying to get this diagnosis, and when somebody finally said ADHD and stuffed the poor child full of Ritalin, which is a terrible drug, only then was my ex-wife happy about it.
Well, that's really messed up. I'm sorry, Ross, but I have strong feelings. I see the damage that it does to the children. First of all, it damages them emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and more importantly, even physically. So why would we want to drug our children with something that we know is bad for them on every level?
Mm.
And it does not help them or aid them. And then what it is at first, they say, oh, they're not as hyper now. Well, take the Coca-Cola out of the public schools and all the junk food, for God's sake, and that's going to make them even more hyper. But these young children that are coming in, and even not that young, but the indigo children, this is a sort of type of theme that's been going on to try to address it for more so their behavior and not really their work. And I find that these children do better in Montessori schools or charter schools, public schools, sometimes homeschooling, but they still need social interaction, or the Waldorf schools, and they need smaller groups.
Right.
And this is why I've written the children's book that I have, My Invisible Friends. And
hold on, let me just stop you there, Michelle, because we need to take another break. I want to stay on this for a moment or two, because there are some issues here that I think should be discussed. We'll take this break. We'll be right back with Michelle Whitedove. The website again, michellewhitedove.com. Do check it out.
Log on to Mystery Play Internet Radio for the live show, Mystery Play Live, every Saturday, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time Zone.
Oh, that's my weakness now.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
If you love the paranormal, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, abductions, anything of that ilk, you should be a member of the above topsecret.com forum. The ATS forums contain the very best and the latest in news of the paranormal, and now That's Weird has its own forum within the ATS setup. So get on there now at abovetopsecret.com and see what you've been missing.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Ross Hemsworth presents Now That's Weird.
Yes, welcome back to the show. It's me, Ross Hemsworth. We're into the last 20 minutes, or the last 15 minutes, in fact, of Now That's Weird. So get your questions in now, studio@glastonburyradio.net. Now, we were talking just before the break about ADHD and ADD, and Michelle Whitedove's not the first person to say recently to me about these children are very, very gifted. Now, my oldest daughter is now, what is she, 19, I think, now. No, hold on, more than that, 20. And she said that, in fact, many, many times, she's been out on paranormal investigations and things with me. She's very intuitive. She picks up on things very quickly. She sees ghosts, and she is really in touch with that side, so she does have an amazing gift. And I never agreed. I mean, when the prescription was given for Ritalin, I didn't want her to have it. I really didn't. But that was something, obviously, there's two people involved in parenting a child. But Michelle, on this, and I want to continue along this line just for a moment, what do you think is the answer to this? I mean, do people need to give these children perhaps more love, more attention? What should we do to put this situation right?
Be in the proper environment to be schooled, smaller groups. And they are hyper, but what I like about the Montessori schools is that they're more hands-on, and they get out of the classroom and they learn by, let's say if it's science, going and looking at different trees and plants and animals and things and learning that way, versus just reading a book and remembering the book. Frankly, they get bored.
Mm.
And I find that the ones that they're trying to medicate with this so-called diagnosis, which I think is a bunch of BS, is just really to make the pharmaceutical companies rich. But more importantly, it suppresses these wonderful, gifted children like your daughter. And I have to agree with you 100%. I would never agree with it.
Well, I remember Leanne saying to me once when she used to have these terrible outbreaks of temper, which is associated with this, but most of it is frustration. And she used to say that her mother would, you know, argue with her, and that just made her worse and worse. Whereas I would just say, go and sit down and, you know, think about it for a while, and I'll just walk away, let her calm down. And she said to me a while after the divorce, and she said, Dad, you just knew how to deal with me, whereas Mum didn't.
Well, I think you saw her for who she truly was, and forgive me for saying so, but, you know, your wife went about it in a totally different way. She wanted to just suppress her to make her life easier, and that's what the teachers are doing, too. They want them just to sit there like little robots and listen and then recite it. They feel like they're more babysitters than teaching now, so it's a big problem, but I really think it's just a bunch of BS, to be honest.
And, yeah, I agree.
That's why I give the facts for the parents, and I tell them, do your homework on this, and I give them websites and resources where they give you the valid scientific information, and that really gets their attention.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's move on to something else, because obviously we could dwell on this one for quite a long time, and I'm conscious of the fact we're running out of time. Now, you say in your notes that so many women are infertile today. Why do you think that is?
It's a lot of it is due, unfortunately, to not organic, but the chicken and the dairy that shot up with all of these chemicals, antibiotics, estrogen, things that are quite harmful for the body. It's like almost eating poison. So, you know, I always try to tell when I see these women and young girls that they need to change their diet, and if they're going to eat chicken and dairy, it's a little more pricey, but you're worth it. It's organic, and also to use a deodorant that doesn't have aluminum in it, and also lay off the caffeine. And doing this makes a very, very big difference, as well as learning to bless your food to neutralize that and take some type of food supplement and minerals and vitamins that even if you did eat as healthy as you possibly could, we're still not getting what we need from our food.
This is true. Now, autism is also at an all-time high. Why do you think there are so many babies being born with this now?
Because the children that are autism, which we, meaning I don't include myself in this, but the medical community, it's always the doctors, you'll notice, that diagnose them so quickly. They're quite brilliant and intuitive in their own right, and they come in here. They're actually a gift to us to remind us to return to spirit, and also the unconditional love that they always have no matter how they're treated. They always are loving, loving children that are half in and half out also. We label them and say that there's something wrong with them, they're autistic or they're slow or whatever that may be, when they look at us thinking, no, it's you that's slow.
It's
something's wrong with you, and I'm just fine. So
it always reminds me of the film The Rain Man, actually. It was very much based on that, wasn't it?
Yes, I thought that was a fabulous movie and well done, just to point out very much the things I'm saying.
Exactly. Now, moving on quickly, and we've got about a minute again before the last break. How do you feel about vaccines?
I'm against them.
For what reason?
Due to you think you're getting, you know, a vaccine to save you from a type of illness, when in fact it's been proven scientifically that the vaccinations are more harmful to our body and cause things later on, diseases and illnesses that actually is supposed to be saving us from one particular, like the mumps or, you know, matter of fact, I was vaccinated for the mumps. And I want you to know, just last year I got the mumps when I was in Nassau. And all these older diseases, as you'll see, are coming back stronger than ever. But it didn't help me, and I find them to be harmful versus positive or helpful to our children.
Okay, we need to take another break. My guest is Michelle Whitedove. We've got a few more moments with her after the break. If you've got any questions, get them in now. Studio@glastonburyradio.net.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Hello, Mr. Play Internet Radio fan. This is your host, Clyde J. Kale. Would you like to listen to some more old-time radio shows? Do you have a particular series you're interested in? Well, then visit our website, www.mystery-otr.net. Again, that's www.mystery-otr.net.
The Celtic calendar and lunar wave is specifically designed for those who follow the original 13-month Grove cycle of the solar year, with all the full moon, dark moon and quarter moons clearly marked in its correct grove with equinoxes and solstices too. For 2007, it is the old Celtic system which uses the names of the trees as they come into season as the month's grove's name. Free rainbow with every copy, just place a mirror on the right-hand side. Send an A4 stamped addressed envelope to Celtic Calendars, 85-87, The Broadway, West Ealing, London, W13, 9BP. That's Celtic Calendars, 85-87, The Broadway, West Ealing, London, W13, 9BP. Would you like to advertise on one of the fastest growing radio stations in the world? The amazing opportunity comes with GlastonburyRadio.net to advertise from just £50 per month. How cheap is that to get to a world audience and sell your goods online as well as locally in Glastonbury? Just give us a call for more details on 0871 871 3666 or email studio@glastonburyradio.net and find out why so many people are choosing to advertise online. Tune in online at www.glastonburyradio.net. Why? Because it's a net thing.
Glastonbury Radio.
Have you ever ignored a hunch or gut feeling and regretted it later? Now you don't have to. You can have intuition, hunches and gut feelings on demand when you need them. My friend and colleague Dr. Laurie Nadell shows you how in her amazing new book, Dr. Laurie Nadell's Sixth Sense, Unlocking Your Ultimate Mind Power. She's offering more than a dozen bonus gifts that add value to her book, including a training exercise by one of the US military's top psychic spies. You can learn the basics of remote viewing from a master psychic spy, plus she is offering an MP3 audio to get your brain into an intuitive state. This weekend is your last opportunity to receive these incredible bonus gifts when you buy Dr. Laurie Nadell's Sixth Sense, Unlocking Your Ultimate Mind Power on Amazon.co.uk. To claim your bonus gift, sign up at www.unlockyoursixthsense.com/onetimeoffer.html. Scroll to the bottom of the page to sign up for your bonus gifts. That's www.unlockyoursixthsense.com/onetimeoffer.html.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Oh, we're back on air. Do you know, I missed my cue there. Suddenly realised the time had gone by and there we were. We're back on air. It's Ross Hemsworth. It's obviously getting late, you see, last 5 minutes of the show. It does these things to me. You're listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. My guest in the final hour is Michelle Whitedove. Now, Michelle, you were talking earlier about your book, Invisible Friends. I think you've got a new one as well coming out.
Yes, it's my Invisible Friends, which is a children's book, and I have 3 books coming out before this year's out. And the second children's book is called The Angels of the Ocean, The Blue World by Michelle Whitedove. And then there's 2 adult books, one called The Sacred Code, which is based on the universal laws. The companion book is called The Sacred Tools, which is based on prayer and meditation, the things that we can use to connect more to spirit and work with spirit more, because everybody can, you know.
That's right. No, I agree. And where can people get these books?
Oh, my goodness. You can get them anywhere. You can get them in the UK, Canada, here in the States, Amazon.com, through my website, through any bookstore, they're available. And also I wanted to say to your Canadians, the Canada, I have a lot of people out there that I work with, that I'm going to Canada, Montreal, to speak at the peace conference that's affiliated with the UN from the 9th to the 12th.
Cool, that's excellent. I'm sure a lot of people will come along and see you. It'd be good if we could get you over here, actually, to one of the big do's in Glastonbury at some point. That'd be really nice.
I would love to, so you'll have to update me on that.
Yeah, we'll have to see if there's any sponsors out there that are prepared to get involved and do that. And I know there's a lot of you listening do get involved in those sort of things. Drop me a line confidentially, off air, and we'll sort something out, because I think that would be really good. Now, just very quickly, we were talking about illnesses, and again, we've got about a minute of the show left before the outro music. Why do you think there's so much mental illness in the world at the moment? I mean, we heard recently about another shooting of school children in America. You know, what's going on, Michelle?
As I said to you, due to the ascension and the actual planet being off its axis, is causing people to feel like imbalance, almost like they're flipping bipolar, you know? And I guess that's some way to kind of wrap it up. And they don't know how to process ordeal with this information and what's going on, so they're just becoming absolutely they're lunatics.
Mm-hmm.
And I find people are just snapping and not only taking out many other people, but then themselves as well. And so this is, you know, we have the highest rate now of crime, of suicides, of murder, all types of things. And it's really a time, as you made a very good point, Ross, to say, this is when we should all come together and work together and, you know, try to bring peace and clarity and get people to understand the tools that they have and to use so they don't go bonkers, basically.
Mm. Oh, I agree so much. Michelle, it was an absolute delight, as always, talking to you. I hope you'll come back on the show real soon. And if we can try and get you over to England to do some talks over here, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely, Ross. You know I love you.
Thank you very much. Well, I'll send out love from this end as well, Michelle. And thanks again for being my guest on Now That's Weird. We'll speak to you again very, very soon.
Okay, dear. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you too. That's Michelle White Dove. That website again, www.michellewhitedove.com. Do check it out. She's a medical intuitive, and she seems to have a finger on the pulse there. A lot of what she says makes a perfect lot of sense to me, and I hope it does to you too. Apologies to those of you that have sent emails in, and we just haven't been able to get them to air. It's just never enough time, is there? You know, you're talking about a three-hour show, and yet it whizzes past so quickly. And before you know where you are, you're out of time with the guest, and so much more still to say. So apologies if you send emails in and we haven't got them out. And I know it's always nice to get the emails this end. We love reading them, so do keep them coming in. That's it for another week. We'll be back in a week's time. Coming up after the break, Dave Starbuck, that incredible investigative journalist, looks at another conspiracy. So stay tuned. Thanks to my producer, Penny Dando. Thanks to Lulu the cat for behaving herself this evening, which is always unusual. Hope you've all enjoyed it tonight, despite the problems earlier on in the first hour there. But it's been a great show. I always enjoy doing it. I love chatting to you. I love chatting to my guests. And I'm glad that you enjoy it as well, which is proven by the figures, the number of people that sit there listening on a Friday night. Thanks, guys. You are appreciated. Now, just very quickly, next week, Dr. Karen Rowell's joining me on the show, talking about the Knights Templars. That's going to be a biggie. Make sure you don't miss it. She's just one of the guests coming up next week. And quite a lot of very, very interesting guests joining us in the coming weeks, people that haven't been on the show before, and I'm really looking forward to it. Make sure you tune in next week. Make sure you tell all your friends. Don't forget, if you send out an email to 100 people you know telling them about Now That's Weird, just imagine, most of the world will know about the show within a few weeks. You take care of yourselves. Have a great bank holiday weekend. Weather forecast says it's going to be warm here in the UK. Enjoy it. Have a great time. We'll be back this time next week. See ya.